Eight games of hoops on a Monday night. It was a night where the teams that needed to win did not win. All the teams that we talked about for seedings just did not matter. Chicago beats Denver. Orlando beats LA. Indiana beats Minnesota. My name is Shlomo Stark.
My name is Levi Jacob.
And this is the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. So, Levy, I think that Ryan Russillo said it best on Bill Simmons' pod on Sunday, which is he just kind of throws out the last 2 weeks of the season. He doesn't think you can take any conclusions from them. Like, he's ignoring the Bulls' awesome win streak now. He's ignoring the Cavs. He's just kind of like, it's the last 2 weeks of the season. Guys are motivated. They've locked in the playoffs, like the seeding is whatever. And I'm tending to agree with him because otherwise it's hard to make sense of what's going on in the league right now.
To note, the Suns did win last night, so that helped at least their playoff seeding.
The Suns and Mavericks.
Right. Which, again, I don't know why the Mavericks are insisting on playing Anthony Davis right now.
That was weird.
I think that you're correct.
It was weird, the Anthony Davis thing. I saw that. I woke up to it. I was like, Anthony Davis played last night? Like, what are they thinking?
I think what they're thinking is we need literally anything for our fans. But I also think that Ryan Russillo is right. I think that you're right also. I look at it more for what teams have deficiencies and cannot, you know, are still struggling to figure out right before playoffs what a closing lineup looks like, what a role. For example, the Bucks. Their defensive rotations last night were atrocious despite Damian Lillard not being on the floor, who's usually the main culprit of not rotating on defense. And they also don't really have point guard depth. They just don't. They haven't been able to find anything. They picked up Kevin Porter Jr., who's been good here and there, but it's really just not a complete team, and I'm still kind of shocked that this is kind of how the Bucks, you know, fortune has gone.
I give credit to Bill Simmons, who called this, like, Mark Lazarus sold the Bucks, like, a little after the title. Sold a stake in the Bucks, and it was like literally the definition of selling high on the Bucks. It was when Giannis was at his peak, they had just won the title. It's kind of exactly when the Celtics, when Wicks sold the Celtics, it's the definition of selling at a high, right? They had just won the title. They might win the title this year, but they're going to hit an all-time salary cap. They're not going to be able to keep everybody, and they're likely going to deteriorate until eventually they'll go up because of the Celtics, but he sold high, and meaning they had that $6 billion profit. The Bucks, like, you didn't think it at the time, but when they won the championship against Phoenix, you didn't realize it was trending downward. Like, that was the peak. You kind of thought there was more to go. But really, that was the highest of the places.
I was thinking about this morning as I was watching Jason Tatum, which, by the way, also hopefully he gets better. But Giannis is in a similar camp, which is I'm looking at their co-stars, right, or their supporting cast. And I'm like, these are both players who do so many things effectively. It's kind of hard to not find somebody who would be a good number two next to them. And the Celtics have done that very effectively. I was thinking about who would they replace Jaylen Brown with that would be better for Tatum? Because Tatum handles the ball. It's part of what makes him so effective. So he doesn't need a ball handler next to him. He needs a defender. And, like, you know, like, if they were to trade Jaylen Brown, what would be a productive piece next to him? And with Giannis, it's like they have this cast of people who are in their most peak form, very, very effective playing next to him, and they just can't seem to put it together.
I guess we'll see in the playoffs, but yeah, that's kind of what it seems like. Okay, let's go through the games quickly. Suns beat the Bucks 108-106. Devin Booker hit that clutch jumper with 2.4 seconds left, so that was really cool. Suns get fourth straight win after they had like four straight losses, so that's pretty cool, and they really want that 10 seed, so good luck to them with that. Kevin Durant scored 38 points, Booker had 19, including that clutch shot at the end. You pretty much said your notes on this game, so I think we can move on because you talked about how the Bucks don't have a closing lineup. They did know that they did not have Dame Lillard, which is important to mention.
If you want to also watch them, great. You can watch back just the last inbound of the game, watching Devin Booker doing the most to make
that
sure
cool.
that he's distracting that. The inbound passer.
Okay, next. Just go in chronological order because all the rest of the game stunk. Indiana beats Minnesota 119-103. Halliburton and Toppin lead this, like, three-point flurry. It was, like, nuts. They were 37% from three compared to Minnesota, who was 25% from three. A completely dominant win. They never really trailed after the second quarter. It's just like, in the third quarter, it was like 41-point third quarter. Just destroyed them. I like this Pacers team. I hate them because I'm a Knicks fan, but I like them. Next, Orlando beats the Lakers 118-106. Lakers now lose two in a row with LeBron back. Even though LeBron looks great, and so does Luka, but they have a real problem with defense. When like teams are quick, it's happened already two games in a row with both the Magic and the Bulls. When people are quick, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just like they're just old. But the question is, when, you know, you have to beat them four times, like, can they figure it out? Because they have two of the smartest players. I think that's like my main takeaway.
Yeah, I think they're saving their legs for the playoffs. But this game, like you said, it just doesn't tell us anything.
Exactly. Next, Dallas beats Brooklyn 120-101. Anthony Davis returns. Very confusing why. We discussed that earlier. Najee Marshall led them in scoring with 22 points, 9-15 shooting. Completely destroyed the Nets, who seemed like they finally decided to tank. Next, Chicago upsets Denver, who actually really needed the win. Both Denver and LA really needed those wins, but they did not get them to Chicago and Orlando. Kobe White, who's just like phenomenal randomly. He's like the most, he's not Deion Waiters because he starts, but he's like he can either have 38 points or 12 points. And you're like, yeah, that's Kobe White. And it's just like so cool. So last night was a 37.1.
He's like a sixth man with like personal higher aspirations.
I like that one. That's very good. Congrats to the Bulls for winning that game. Next, Boston beats Sacramento 130-95. Jason Tatum was injured though at the end of that game, towards the end. So we got to keep an eye on that, but he scored 25 points and completely dominated the Kings. The Pelicans, it's now officially, are the Pelicans good? But like, no, but like, because they beat the Sixers, but they just keep winning randomly. But they had a starting lineup of Kelly Olynyk, Keon Brooks, Yavis Missy, Jordan Hawkins, and Jose Alvarado, and they still beat the Sixers, who Quentin Grimes seems like, no, Quentin Grimes didn't play. So, and Quentin Grimes doesn't play. If you don't have Maxey, Embiid, George, and Grimes, you'll lose to that Pelicans team by 13. Okay, that was the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. I want to thank you, Levy, for co-hosting, producing, and all that you do. I want to apologize to my fans for missing the day after my sister's wedding. There's no excuses here. I'm a results-based guy, and I did not provide results. I flaked. Did not show up, and I'm embarrassed, and you deserve better as listeners, and I apologize, and I want to thank you for listening.